Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Faking Movies. What's that?
What? Oh, I was just wondering where you got that body from.
Oh, well, I got it from my daddy. case anyone was wondering what that was all about, we listened to the song Daddy by Psy a lot before we record.
Like,
so,
every single time. It's amazing.
Yeah, this is episode 48, everyone. My God. We're divisible by 12. Who would have thought?
Okay.
You know, it's only happened four times, so, you know,
it's
a big moment. Yeah.
Celebrate the
wins.
It's
true.
So this week, I'm joined, of course, by our dear friend, Zach. How's it going, Zach?
It's going great, bud. It's going real good.
Cool. Also joined by Seth, who I'm sure will interrupt a bunch very shortly.
What?
That'll work.
I am also joined here by the Twitter czar of our USSR, our dear friend Marielle. How's it going today?
Hey guys!
Whoop whoop!
So
yes, Twitter queen.
Queen is in the house.
We are. Oh, that reminds me. A couple episodes ago, I tried to make the phrase Das Czarina happen, and I really want to just apologize to everyone for that, because it was not.
Yeah.
It was not.
I was kind
happening.
Of hoping it would be a t-shirt, or at least a sticker.
Well,
I think for the t-shirts, we're going to have to wait until we have like 10,000 t-shirt ideas and then put them all out at once.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And hope to sell
really
one.
Make people beg for them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as always, we mention up front just all the stuff we've got going on, but of course, you know, why don't we turn this over to you since you're running the Twitter? Tell everybody what we got going.
Oh, so much good shit. with an assist from our friend Lee over on Instagram. It's just great goofs, the occasional poll, maybe some gifts. If you guys like Patrick Swayze right now, it is the time to hit it up because you will see some very sexy Swayze right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
he is oozing, as I recall, the sexiness.
Dripping.
Yeah.
Just dripping.
Oh, boy, it is nuts,
so
literally.
Follow us at Faking Movies, hashtag Faking Movies. I swear I'll make it worth your while. If you guys like absurd quotes that are hilarious but have no context, this is the place for you on the internet.
That's the best part.
It's the best.
Yeah. Yep. It's true.
We just love reliving our own hilarity.
Yeah,
every day,
endlessly.
jokes for no one. The best.
Yeah.
In another seamless transition, hey Marielle, what movie did we give you for this week?
You guys gave me Moonstruck. My cast is Cher.
Yeah.
Yes, the Queen.
Yes.
National Treasure, Nick Cage.
Blessed chasing those dollar bills all the time.
Gotta get that pyramid.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the pyramid. Gotta pay for that pyramid.
Gotta pay for that pyramid.
Yeah,
that,
could you imagine how sad it would be to have your tomb repossessed?
Especially, what if his dear drunk friend Sebastian Bach buys it? That'd be crazy.
Ooh.
I think if something did happen to the pyramid, his Kickstarter/GoFundMe would be funded in 3 seconds. So it wouldn't even matter.
Yeah, that's
I would
sell cars to help that. Yes,
we know. Mm-hmm. We know.
Yeah, and you have the car inventory to sell multiple cars.
Yeah,
you are almost
a
used car lot right now.
Yeah.
Yes, Zach's everyone's least favorite neighbor.
Yeah.
Oh, you're telling me.
How many are on
motorcycles
the Tinder bus right now?
Motorcycles at 11 p.m.
Oh, you're the worst.
It's the worst.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who else is in this movie?
John Mahoney, I believe that's an R.I.P.
Yes.
Yeah.
John Mahoney, oh, shit. Recently, no kidding.
Recent R.I.P. Mm-hmm. Olympia Dukakis. Uh-huh. And Danny Aiello, mm-hmm. who I had to look up a picture of.
Yep.
Danny Aiello, astonishingly still alive. Now, you know, we all know, our audience knows, everyone here knows that we thrive on these cinematic blind spots. And I have to say, when one like this pops up and we get to, just as a spoiler, we get to watch a movie like this, I am tickled. Fucking tickled. You need to see this movie. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
I can't possibly be better than mine, because this is just, it's like three pages of just pure gold right here.
Oh, boy.
Love it.
But I don't know anything about this movie. So
I think you have a very good chance of beating it. As much as I love the real movie, you have a good chance of beating it. Yeah.
More on that later. Yeah, there are good parts of this. I wouldn't immediately say that it's a perfect movie by any means.
All this foreshadowing is making me uncomfortable.
Yeah. All right. Well, kick us off here, Mario.
Yeah.
So I will preface this by calling out that there are songs and they are complete musical numbers with choreo.
Perfect.
Preferably Kenny Ortega of Newsies fame, also high school musical.
Okay.
I don't know if that's like, I didn't want to look it up on accident and see anything, so I don't know if there's any choreography or choreographer here, but if there was up to me, it would be Kenny and no one else.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Let's say hard no on that in the real movie. Yeah.
Boo. Yeah. All right. Well, then mine's better. And I got, I'm just gird your loins.
Okay.
We open on a black screen. There's a lot of Steadicam in this as well, so just get your mind right. The camera pans up, and the audience sees that it's a door with a gold star on it marked Cher in all caps.
Oh, Cher is playing Cher?
Cher playing, yes. Everyone,
okay.
Yes, obviously.
I realize you are basically part of this podcast at this point, but you have already hit one of the hallmarks of the every fake movie. Mm-hmm. Yes. Character playing character in real life, and they use their real name, and no one is the wiser.
My characters don't have names. There's just the actors. So,
yes. Of course.
Go with it.
That is perfect.
Yep.
Yes. Very much so. A Cher disco banger is playing as the door opens slightly and the camera enters a fabulous dressing room. Mm-hmm. We're talking feather boas, twinkle lights, velvet furniture everywhere. Cher's wearing a satin dressing gown. She's sitting at a retro low bulb makeup
mirror. That describes
back to the
my living room as a child. That's how it was furnished.
Your living room was a sex dungeon?
My living room as a child had more than one velvet piece of furniture and several twinkle lights, as well as weird beads hanging everywhere.
So yes, so definitely
I
want to
be friends with your parents so bad.
This was in 1991 before it was changed. So
I don't know what's worse, your parents' living room or my parents' living room that was fake Southwest American. And they're white.
Ooh. Oh,
the cultural appropriation was
of
real.
My current living room that has a cow skull and a velvet Elvis. Yeah,
that's true. Velvet Elvis, though.
It's pretty great. I've done been there.
You can vouch for the velvet Elvis.
I can vouch for how great it is.
Sounds amazing. I mean, I don't know how I'd feel about it as like a 12-year-old boy, but as an adult woman, it sounds banging.
Yeah.
It's like
it's great. It has a tear and everything.
It's incredible.
It does.
Yeah. All right. So we've got Cher. She's sitting in front of one of those retro makeup mirrors with the big globe lights. Mm-hmm. The camera tracks her in detail as she delicately applies her stage makeup. We see close-ups of her eyes, mascara, cheeks. She does her blush and lipstick. This could also be where the credits are appearing, kind of inserting themselves into the shots. As she blots her lipstick,
yeah, I like this.
The camera pans back to reveal her beautiful reflection. She blows the mirror a kiss, and the title card appears. It's a block font with twinkle glitter around the text, and the night sky is the background.
This is really specific.
Moonstruck.
Wow, yeah. It's like I'm inside the movie.
You should. Oh, I mean, God. I put a lot of thought into this, guys.
Yeah, I'm very proud. Very good.
The title card fades away, leaving only the night sky. The camera pans down from the sky into New York City, and it's something obvious, like the Empire State Building or Statue of Liberty. So it's very obvious New York City. We land on a curtain stage in the back of an old school nightclub, complete with tufted leather blankets and old fat men drinking brandy out of snifters, but holding them like this with the two fingers.
Yeah, yeah, always. Like you have to.
Always.
Yeah.
Cher appears on stage in a completely sequined gown, head to toe sequins, and she launches into her total diva moment. While she's singing, we see various scenes around the club. There's like waitresses dropping off drinks, bartenders doing like cocktail style liquor bottle flings, men trying to pick up women at the bar, and then there's an older gentleman wearing a suit smoking a fat cigar in the biggest booth directly off the stage, and this is where we meet Danny Aiello, aka Danny.
Yep,
nailed it. Yep, perfect.
There are other similarly dressed men around him, but the camera lingers on Danny for just a moment as Cher lets out her final note. And if any of you can do a Cher note, I cannot do it, but it's something like, oh, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, God.
Can you do it?
Why would you even? Something
like that.
Love, like that. After it's, love after love. Yeah, after it's love. Auto-tune. Do you believe?
Oh, yeah. But this is young Cher, so it's
it's more like I was born on the back of a traveling show. My mama used
that's
to
the one. That's the one.
Throw. Papa would do if he could. That one.
Yeah,
we're hearing on the streets from the people that call us.
Do all of my impressions of famous singers sound like ghosts? I don't
know. Well, today they do, certainly, yeah. Friend of the podcast, friend of me and Marielle,
Kevin Fartnoise.
Kevin Fartnoise.
Oh, your brother. I didn't know that.
That's his favorite song in the world. I've heard him sing it and dance to the entirety of the song. So
Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves?
Yeah, it warms my heart to think of him singing it. It's just the best.
I also love that song. We might be bros.
If last names are any indication, yes.
You guys will definitely be bros. All right. We move on to the next scene now that we've had our diva moment.
Sure.
Yeah.
The next day. It's a sunny, warm day.
If you know anything about divas, it's that there's no single moment, but go on.
It's more of a lifetime
it's
of
a
moments.
Lifetime. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Spring has sprung. Flowers are blooming and birds are singing. We
did
see
you say it was a sunny day, like a sunny Bono day? Or...
Ooh.
Oh, my.
We can be a sunny Bono day.
Okay.
Maybe he'll do like a cameo here.
Oh.
Well, yeah, he's going to go speeding by on a pair of skis and crash into a tree in the background.
Man, I wasn't going to do it.
He is the homeless guy feeding the birds in Central Park. It's like an undercover cameo. You don't know about it till later when the internet comes out.
Yeah, like when Stephen Colbert was that like one weird random dude in that Hobbit movie.
Exactly.
Oh yeah.
Or like
or like
random
everybody plays
storm
a stormtrooper. Yep, there you go.
Yeah.
Wait, you guys haven't gotten to the best part yet.
Well, I'm for sure not, because we're interrupting like crazy. So
Cher is out for some exercise around Central Park. Naturally, she's wearing a leotard, short shorts, her hair teased into a huge poof, barely contained with a terry cloth sweatband. Did I mention it's the 70s and she's on roller skates?
Yes. No, she didn't, but I mean,
This is peak Cher.
Oh, this is authentic. She's skating around the park, showing off her sweet moves and quietly singing to herself, like that. As she gets distracted with her dancing and singing, suddenly, bam, she smashes into another roller skater. And he's like, hello, Nick Cage. And this...
Yes.
I've never seen him on skates and I love
They're both
it.
Totally embarrassed and flustered, but they start making eye contact, introduce themselves to each other. They start making small talk, make sure nobody's broken any bones, and then they start kind of skating together, starting conversation, getting to know each other. We continue with a montage of their roller skating adventure. and they end up at a sidewalk cafe, still wearing their skates, and they're sharing a milkshake. It's very cute.
Oh, they're sharing a milkshake already? God.
Oh, it's love at first.
There's nothing more sensual than just lactose.
and injuries? Yeah.
I mean, it's perfect. It's just so many emotions.
Yep. Spitty straws and whatnot.
And farts.
Yeah, the hearts. Yeah, the straws are in the shape of hearts. That's definitely true.
You don't have HPV, do you? Oh, God. We should have talked about this.
Oh, my God, Zach. Fuck.
Jeez. To be fair, Nick Cage definitely has HPV. Like, that is without a doubt.
How dare you besmirch the name of Nick Cage?
No, I our Lord and Savior, but, like, let's be honest.
He's on medication.
Well.
So they're sharing this milkshake. They're having a chat, and we learn that they have a lot in common. Besides just roller skating, they have fabulous hair, and they also have each lost a parent. Nick lost his father and Cher her mother. They're sad about this, but they're happy to find someone to relate to about this loss. As they finish up their milkshake, Nick asks for Cher's number. This is before cell phones, by the way, because it's the 70s. She jots it down in a napkin, and as he's safely tucking the napkin away in his pocket, he mentions that he works nights and is only available to spend time during the day. That's
suspicious.
Perfect.
Yeah, very suspicious.
Cher works nights too, because she works at the club.
Oh, sure.
So it's perfect, right? Now she can find someone who also works at night.
Yep. Okay.
Now we're going to go to a second montage. This is the day-date montage. This is extra cute.
Okay.
Central Park Zoo, riding swan boats, playing at F.A.O. Schwartz, eating ice cream at the Met, et cetera, et cetera. Everything New York cliche, everything real cute. 70s like disco bangers. It's just delightful.
Eating ice cream at the Met? No, you might get it on the arch.
No, on the steps outside.
This is a great montage. This is essential to sell this movie to the flyover states. Oh, it's in New York. Well, as long as we recognize everything, that's fine.
Right. It will only be cliche New York things. There will be nothing obscure here. Like the Guggenheim, not even a thing. Too weird.
They go to the Whistler Museum, and people know who Whistler's mother is, and it's very normal.
Certainly,
so normal.
It's New York via Peoria.
Yeah.
Yes, that was the concept of this.
Yep.
So they're clearly falling in love. It's super sweet, and we see that the seasons are starting to transition from spring to summer to fall. Based on the weather, the trees, and their outfits. This is how time works.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, movie time. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well, this is a place that has four seasons, unlike other parts of the country that are not so interesting.
Well,
like right now, where it's sleeting outside?
Yeah, I'm not sure what my season is, but it ain't good.
Yeah,
it ain't
good. It's terrible right now.
It's full of snow. It's fucking full
of
snow.
It's not great here.
It's kind of pleasant where I live, other than all the Nazis.
Well, in the movie, this is the 70s, so global warming's not as big of a factor, so they actually still have seasons at this point. Remember, 70s.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Nixon had passed the Clean Air Act and all sorts of stuff. It was great.
Al Gore hadn't been vice president yet. Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The internet was yet just a twinkle in his eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, it's like a series of tubes, I think.
Famously.
Shout out Tim Berners-Lee.
Anyway.
Back to the movie. The weather is cooler now. The trees are losing their leaves, and Cher looks smashing in a shearling bomber and huge bell-bottom jeans. Like, you know this look.
Yep.
Her hair is, like, long and perfectly straight. It is just peak chic. I live for this look. Cher, Nick is taking her ice skating at Rockefeller Center. Cher seems a little down today. What's the matter?
Uh-oh.
She tells Nick.
Danny. It's Danny, isn't it?
She tells Nick she's been having some trouble with her boss at work. Nick assures her that no matter what, he'll make sure she's all right. After consoling her, Nick stops on the ice and tells her that she means so much to him. But now that the days are getting shorter, he will have to work more and she won't be able to see him as much.
Is he a vampire? Is his second job being a vampire?
We will find out.
A reverse vampire.
Sorry. Yeah, a reverse vampire? He's a daywalker?
She is disappointed but understanding.
Nick Cage is the original Wesley Snipes.
Oh, God.
Wait. No, this is not a precedent we can set.
No, it's not.
No. I will not commission this t-shirt. God damn it.
Sorry, disappointed.
Oh, dear.
So they're kissing in the middle of the ice rink, and the camera starts to pan away, and it's, like, very traditional New York. It's just...
Sure.
You know it. The next scene. Cher's finishing up another night at the club. She's had a smashing set, and the audience loves her. After heading backstage, Cher retires to her dressing room. As soon as she starts brushing out her hair, Danny Aiello barges in without knocking. He's the stereotypical mafia movie guy, and he immediately starts harassing her. Touching her shoulders, telling her how much she owes him for her success, etc., etc.
Sure.
He's a total Harvey Weinstein. Complete.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's modeled after Harvey Weinstein, this character.
Real piece of shit.
Total piece of shit.
That checks out. Yep.
She shudders at his presence, grabs her purse, and storms out of the club, still with her gown on and her hair done, everything. She emerges in the dark alley from the back entrance and walks off to her apartment. After changing into her cute PJs and her fuzzy slippers, Cher flops in her bed and calls her dad. Her dad, played by the lovely John Mahoney. We transition to a split screen for the phone call, so we have each of them on the other line. Same sharing screen. She tells him work is annoying lately. Ooh. But she met someone great.
Can the phone...
She really likes him, and they both
work... Can the
phone
cord be the thing that splits the screen?
Absolutely.
Oh.
It's very Bye Bye Birdie. Do you guys remember Bye Bye Birdie, the musical version with the where the words come
out
on the screen?
Yeah.
It's that.
Bye Birdie! Hello, Hugo! I am dating you!
That
it's
one.
That only, like, not transvestite. Yeah.
And Margaret was not a great singer.
I make
what is
with all
this
newsies?
Hey, you guys hate Kenny Ortega and Anne Margaret.
Fuck you.
Mario, what's the budget on this? My God.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, enough.
Enough.
A shitload? Yeah.
They had Cher.
Yeah, they had Cher. Nickel,
so. Yeah, I would say Cher and Nickel sell the pyramid 20 years in the past. Yeah. It's not a big deal. Yeah.
When you have Cher in your movie, the money just follows.
Yeah,
we have
yeah.
so much star power in this movie. Like this is a this yeah. is a this is a triple A feature.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And anyway, John's so excited for her. His baby girl finally met a nice guy, and they both work nights. It works out so well. But they both miss mom and wish she was still around to meet Nick.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Scream wipe left to another split screen call. This one between Nick and his mom,
oh my God.
Played by Olympia Dukakis.
Right?
This is every genre of movie, right? So it's a musical, it's a rom-com, it's also a teen movie.
This is, you know our brand. This is perfect.
I mean, yeah, I just basically was like, what is the best movie possible? Here it is.
Yeah. Yep.
So he's on the phone with Olympia, telling her all about Cher and how wonderful she is. Olympia's so happy for him and especially pleased that he found someone who can hang out during the day. They both miss dad and wish he could meet Cher. Nick becomes quiet.
Naturally.
Olympia asks him, do you think you'll tell her eventually? Nick says, I don't know, mom. This one's different. She's really special. But the audience has no idea what she's talking about.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. Okay. We transition to Nick and Cher sitting at the same sidewalk cafe from their first date. The weather is colder out now, but they sit outside under big coats and cuddle together while they share a milkshake with heart-shaped crazy straws.
Yes.
Cher tells Nick that she'd like him to see her sing sometime. Nick would love that, but he doesn't know if his boss will let him have a night off. She pouts and he promises to see what he can do. We're back at the nightclub. It's clearly December. The club is decorated with garlands and red bows. Cher is wearing a red sequin dress with white fur trim, aka Mrs. Claus.
Yeah,
she's singing something about mistletoe. Danny Aiello is in his usual booth with his usual cigar. She takes a bow and heads off stage. In order to avoid Danny, she bypasses her dressing room and heads directly for the alley. Danny catches up to her as she enters the dark alley and starts to push her up against a wall, and he tries to kiss her. She's struggling and yelling out for help. Suddenly, something huge jumps onto the screen and tackles Danny Aiello. It looks like a dog or a wolf.
Oh my God. Oh my God. You did not.
It's a fucking werewolf wearing no clothes except for a pair of ripped pants.
God.
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
If you Again, counted like those waveforms, you would see there were 10 of them.
The werewolf subdues Danny Aiello and looks at Cher with soft eyes. She runs away, terrified but glad to be saved from Danny. The next day, Cher's at home watching TV and the phone rings. It's Nick, wanting to see how her night went. She tells him about what happened after the show. He's very pissed at Danny, but happy she's okay. He promises to come see her at the club that night no matter what. And she's so happy she has such a great boyfriend. That night, Cher arrives at the club early and is anxiously awaiting Nick. She keeps checking the clock, looking out from behind the curtain, and at one point she steps outside for a cigarette to calm her nerves, because it's the 70s and it's still cool. She's standing on the corner. Nick approaches. He looks so handsome. He's wearing a suit and he's carrying flowers for her. She is all smiles. They kiss and chat on the corner. Nick asks her to point out the man who's been bothering her so he can have a talk with him, man to man. They crack the back door of the club and peek through. The camera focuses right on Danny and his booth. Cher needs to go get ready for her set, so she heads back to her dressing room. Nick takes a seat in a booth near the stage. As Cher is starting her performance, she notices Nick starts to look a little uncomfortable, loosening his tie and pulling at his shirt collar. Eventually, he just leaves and walks outside. She figures he went out for like a cigarette, but still concerned that he left during his performance. Why is that so funny?
Oh my god, you telescoped it so perfectly. Yeah. It's so good.
I know, I should really be a screenwriter.
My name is Cher, and this is my dog boyfriend, Nick Cage.
Yeah, my name is Cher, hashtag must love dogs. okay, sorry, go ahead.
It's very serious right now, guys. During an intermission, Cher goes looking for Nick, but he's nowhere to be found. She's getting mad. What a jerk. She finally found a good dude, and he walked right out during her show. She throws his flowers into the alley. As she turns back into the club, the camera zooms in on a giant furry paw next to the guy. The show is over and Cher's bummed out. Her boyfriend left during the show and now it's time for the nightly sexual harassment from her boss. As she leaves from the club, it starts to snow. And it's Christmas. Danny Aiello follows Cher into the alley. This time, she's so depressed, she almost just gives up and lets him have his way. But before he can touch her, a paw emerges from the darkness. The werewolf is back. Danny and werewolf have a long, drawn-out, bare-knuckle fight. Cher watches in the corner as the drama unfolds.
Wait, I'm just imagining now a werewolf squared up and, like, punch. Although I guess I could just watch Teen Wolf 2 to see that, but,
But still, Danny Aiello and a werewolf Nick Cage fighting is probably the best thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, well, also, that fight's over in 1.5 seconds, right? Like,
no, the fight goes on for so long that the sun starts to come up. It's almost
this is like this is like the Hulk version of Danny Aiello somehow.
Sure, he has old man strength.
The movies,
Fair enough.
So somehow during the scuffle, the fight moves to a rooftop. The werewolf and Danny are grappling. There's an amazing like New York City skyline in the background. Suddenly, Danny Aiello loses his footing and breaks through a grass ceiling, falling to his death.
Oh shit! Okay,
love it.
It's very dramatic, but no one kills him. He falls on his own.
Yeah.
Important. As the werewolf descends the fire escape back down the alley, we see sunlight starting to creep into the scene. We notice that his fur starts to recede. His paws turn into fingers. His fangs transform into a winning smile. It's Nick. He's
a red rocket into a man penis.
It's weird when he turns back and it's just a regular man penis. She's like, oh, put that thing away. It's weird.
It's not... I don't want to look at that.
It was weird to begin with.
Why is it shaped like a pyramid?
This is the best part.
So he rescues her,
turns back into a man. They hug, and he whispers, "Now you see why I had to work nights. I was moonstruck." Fade to black.
Oh, shit. Oh, I didn't put that part together. Well done.
Damn.
Nailed it.
Does he turn directly to camera when he says, "I was moonstruck"?
Obviously, it's straight down the barrel.
Yeah.
So we get a final scene. We pan onto a wedding being held in Central Park, overlooking the very spot where they first ran into each other. Cher and Nick are being wed with their proud parents, Olympia Dukakis and John Mahoney, looking on and smiling. They kiss, the crowd goes wild, and a power ballad starts to play. Mm-hmm. Roll credits.
Mm. Oh,
and everyone leaves feeling so good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. I'm imagining in the theater, the lights come up and everyone claps. For
sure. Absolutely. Yeah. It's the power of love.
Sure. Yeah.
It's
a thing that I hate, when it happens when I'm at a movie, it's like, fuck you. There's no one here that made this movie, but I would clap at that.
All right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
the moment calls for it.
I also hate when people clap at films, but I would not forgive you.
Which is worse, though, when people clap at movies or clap at an airplane landing?
Oh, definitely airplane landing.
Airplane, for
way
sure.
Worse, right?
I say
that
movie.
Happens every day, thousands of times. Yeah, that's not
so
a,
do movies.
That's not an occurrence. Mm. That's a good point. Mm. All right, you got.
But
me
I feel
there.
Like a
that's
movie fair. Is like a theater, so it's like that's why you clap.
It's a performance. It's a shared experience.
Landing an airplane is not a performance.
It also happens at like big premiere, like big
also
opening
landing
weekend
a...
stuff. Yeah.
Landing a plane is a thing they're supposed to do, so don't like. Yeah, I am like, mm-hmm. don't reward like the average thing, right?
Yeah,
it's like,
what if
oh,
it was
you did
like
the bare minimum.
It was a super turbulent like flight,
or they're like, hey, nobody got sucked out of a window situation. This time.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like,
oh yeah, oof, if you land in the Hudson, you're clapping for that shit
for sure.
Yeah.
He saved your life. But like, if I did like the bare,
Seth says no. Seth says no.
No. No claps for Sully. Seth, you're very
like,
stingy with
could
the
could have
claps.
Been smoother. Could have been a little smoother.
So
water
stingy.
Water is very forgiving.
No, it isn't.
I just feel like if someone came into my office and applauded me for doing the bare minimum of my job.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I think I would actually be annoyed.
Yeah, you'd be like, no, stop. No, it's too much.
No, that's weird.
Aw, people come into my office and applaud me all the time, so I don't know what you're talking about. It's great.
Hey, put that on the CV, # job market.
Yeah.
Let's do it. oh, dear.
All in all, that was a good movie. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was a real banger, for sure.
So, Marielle,
we got a lot of great Cher stuff. We got a lot of great werewolf stuff. That's both boxes. I have two boxes. One of them is Cher,
I was
going to
say, yeah. If ever there was a pandering movie, like we've done this to each other before, but I think Marielle fucking just like batting 1,000 on that one.
Yeah,
the only thing I couldn't figure out how to fit in any like good espionage or hate of dad hating.
Oh.
Those are the two things I missed. Yeah. There was
that's
no Russian
Zach,
espionage.
Really.
Yeah,
one,
I mean Zach is the only one that's for because again,
that's
me
true.
And I love our fathers. But
when friend of the show Eve is on, we get at it. But otherwise, it's mostly that's a deep cut. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Seth, you got the IMDb?
I sure do.
Cool.
I'm guessing that this is nothing like the real movie, right?
There were actually more overlaps than I would have assumed.
Surprised. Yeah.
Well, I would say if you cross the real movie with burlesque, I think you kind of nailed it. Well, and some werewolf movie. I don't know.
Teen Wolf 2, because of the boxing.
Teen Wolf 2.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I was thinking Underworld 5? Question mark?
We can never really know, yeah.
I don't even know what that is. What is Underworld?
Not a good series of werewolf / vampire fight movies.
Nope.
They're still making them, I think, which is...
They are. They certainly are.
Baffling.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, do you want the one-sentence summary?
I would love it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. After a long time, the sap got hardened and became fossilized, just like dinosaur bone, preserving the mosquito inside. This fossilized tree sap. Oh, I mean, sorry.
I did not see that coming at all. You son of a bitch.
I just. Oh. Jokes are only us because Marielle hasn't heard last week, well, the one we recorded last week, where we do Jurassic Park 600 times in that episode. Oh, god damn. Marielle, this will be really funny in a month.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Way to like all alienate of our guest on top of our fans. Yeah. Like...
Oh, Christ.
Anyway, the actual summary is Loretta Castorini, a bookkeeper from Brooklyn, New York, finds herself in a difficult situation when she falls for the brother of the man that she has agreed to marry.
Whoops.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so it like is kind of a rom-com?
Yeah, or is it like a serious? Yeah, definitely for a rom-com.
Sure, yeah. Oh, for okay.
sure. Definitely.
Yeah. What does it have to do with the moon?
Oh, it's
well, do you
stupid,
want a
well,
slightly okay. longer yeah. summary? I could tell you what happens in the movie.
Yeah, give me a give yeah. me the real deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so Cher is a approaching middle-aged widowed woman, and she dates super schlub Danny Aiello, who she agrees to marry at the beginning. And I think they really nailed it with agrees to marry. She definitely mm-hmm. doesn't want to marry him.
Begrudgingly.
Like
Yeah.
She even gives him shit on his proposal. She's like, "You're not gonna get on your knee? What the fuck's
yeah.
wrong with you?"
Like, yeah. yeah,
it's like, "You don't have a ring. You're not gonna get on your knee. I'm fucking Cher. Do you understand that I'm Cher and you're Danny Aiello?"
This was 88,
like,
I believe. Yeah.
87, 88. Yeah. yeah.
But I feel like in 87, 88, like I guess widowed women still couldn't be single. They like had to be married. That seems so
well. Okay. There's another part of this. This is one of these weirdly Italian movies.
Oh my
yes.
god,
it is this very Italian.
Yeah. No, everyone live in their mom's basement.
No, this movie is aggressively Italian.
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah. it. I will say this just my for god. My with my
is
family
like,
background, they really nailed the family dynamic.
I actually wrote this down like early and then like reaffirmed it later. Like why we've watched at least another one of these. I can't remember which, but like why was this such a big thing? Like were there a bunch of Italians that were like nobody makes movies for us and like god damn it, the time is now? Like what was the fucking deal with
this? I don't know. Was this around the time
about,
of like the mafia trials?
The Pope of Greenwich Village?
Yeah, that was the
That's
other one. Yes, time. That was exactly the other one. Yeah.
Well, like, Italians are, especially by the 80s, like, I mean earlier than that, but definitely by the 80s, they're like, they're a white ethnic, so it's, we can make fun of an yeah. ethnic group, but it's okay because they're white, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Was it making fun of, or was it in service of? Like, it felt more the latter, honestly. I don't know.
Well, I think, like, that's why people felt okay laughing about these kind of things.
Oh,
I mean?
Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anyway, go ahead, Lee.
I might be projecting on that though, but anyway,
yeah.
So yeah, Cher is gonna marry this schlub guy, and he ends up he absconds to Sicily because his mom's gonna die. So he's like, "You need to go tell my brother that we're getting married, so he can come to the wedding because he hates me and I need him there." Well, the brother is Nick Cage, obviously, and
they don't have.
He
phones?
Is fucking insane, like
they,
the most insane character. Holy shit,
he's great. Yeah.
No, it's amazing. Well, it's not like, I mean, it's not Vampire's Kiss insane, but like it's pretty good.
Oh,
it's like very fun.
Is it like
for Vampire's Kiss?
Is it like peak Nick Cage or is it like sub peak
no.
Nick Cage?
No. It's good. It's before he was like truly insane, but like while he was doing insane in a fun way.
Yeah,
I think
this role, his performance is outstanding.
It's
but
very
it has
good.
It has no place in a non-parody movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is so out of sync. With
I will have
the
to
world.
Watch this.
Yeah. You definitely should.
Yeah, this movie is worth a watch, but we'll get to that later. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So over the course of her meeting Nick Cage, she ends up falling in love with him, and they have like this mini romance for a couple days while Danny Aiello's gone. The crux of the movie is basically her coming to terms with she doesn't just want to get married, she wants to be in love, and she didn't think that was something that could happen for her again, and she understands that, okay, maybe this is something that I can have. So she ends up with Nick Cage at the end. There's some subplots about her parents. Her dad is cheating on her mom with the actress who plays Liz Lemon's mom on 30 Rock.
Oh, yeah.
And her mom is Olympia Dukakis, who actually Cher and Olympia Dukakis won Oscars for this movie.
Oh, no way.
Whoa. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Olympia Dukakis ends up having her own mini subplot where she meets John Mahoney at a restaurant. And he's this weird, gross, womanizing professor. And they have a night together where it's like, oh, these two really get along. And she's like, I don't want to be with you, though, because I have a family and you're a piece of shit.
Yeah, exactly.
But
John Mahoney's in this movie for all of like 3 minutes.
Oh, a little more than that.
Well, he's only in my movie for like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He certainly does not play a Martin Crane character, I can tell you that.
He does not.
No, he does not. He does not. Martin Crane had so many girlfriends on that show. That motherfucker was having sex all damn day.
I mean, compared to his sons, I'd probably sleep with him too if I given the choice of the three.
Him and the Kelsey two ladies.
Kelsey Grammer's
on that
kind
show.
of a daddy. You know, he's a beefy daddy boy with some hair.
All right.
Boy. This has gone a weird direction. I thought we were just going to talk about Frasier, and now
we're going to ruin it for you. You will not talk about Frasier tonight.
Oh, this movie has another Frasier connection. B.B. Newworth is in it. She does shares hair at one scene.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I do like B.B. Newworth. She's one of my, like, she's great in everything.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
Is she like a stereotypical Italian hairdresser, I assume? She's chewing gum the whole time.
Everyone is in this movie. Every single
person. Again, this movie is aggressively Italian.
Yeah, it's rough. Yeah.
So the whole movie comes to an end in like the family kitchen where there's this big family thing where every member is there and they come to like Danny Aiello, I don't love you, I'm gonna marry your brother, and he's like, I'm okay with that, and that's and then they all have breakfast. It's weird.
Yep. Okay, Lee, first, fucking commendations. That was the shortest long summary that we've ever had in the history.
That was very thorough.
You did a good job. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Amazing. I've been practicing.
Yeah, well done.
Oh,
well
and you done. Asked about Moonstruck. Moonstruck is just Cher's family has this story about how her parents got together, where the day that her father fell in love with her mother, there was this giant moon in the sky, and he was like he got mesmerized by it, and that's what made him realize he was in love, and all of Cher's family members talk about.
He was just really high.
Yeah. And it was probably it was a moon like Majora's Mask, and it was just they had 3 days to get married, or the
and there was
entire
angry,
world
angry
would be
face on it. Yeah.
Yeah, or the entire world would be destroyed.
The way you're describing it as being like aggressively Italian and this whole moon thing, how many times did they play When the Moon Hits Your Eye, like a big pizza
That is
pie?
The that's song
the
that
opening
opens the movie.
Song. I cannot believe you just said that.
The
opening
like,
and closing song.
Oh my god.
Okay.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Okay, so I've never seen this movie, but I know this movie so well already.
Yeah, it's an Italian song, an Italian movie with moons in it, like, obviously, 16 times.
There's a recurring theme, though, about that, like, oh, like her older uncle, her elderly uncle is like, oh, that's the moon that Cosmo saw the day he fell in love. And then him and his wife rekindle their romance in their later years, and that's the moon that Nick Cage and Cher see when they fall in love, and it's it's cute. Yeah.
Don't we all see the same moon though?
Well, this is a special moon. Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Don't ruin the magic.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Hey. Okay, whatever. That's adorable.
So, I think my biggest note, infidelity plays the biggest role in this movie. It's very weird. So
every plot line.
Cher and Nick are cheating on Cher and shithead Danny Aiello.
Yeah.
Cher's dad is cheating on Cher's mom. And then Cher's mom is cheating on Cher's dad with John Mahoney. But you like them because Cher's dad's a shithead. But like,
well,
it's
and they
just,
never.
It's so much.
Nothing ever happens
I kind
between
of
them.
Be
they
like,
just have a dinner together.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true.
But so then whoever wrote this movie was definitely cheating, but wanted it to be justified. So they were like, my husband is a dirtbag, so I'm going to write a movie about how it's cool that I cheated on him.
Yep. Yeah. Like, cheating can work out, and it's totally fine. Yeah. And, like, yeah. No, it's absolutely that. Yeah, for sure. It was, in the first at least two-thirds of the movie, I was like, this is all very gross. And then at the end, I fell for the thing that you're talking about. And I was like, oh, it's cute between Cher and Nick and
the
mom
love.
And whatever. And,
love yeah, all.
But then at the end, I was like, "No, it's still gross. Like, just fucking be humans." It's ugh. Yeah.
Well,
just man up and like break up with the guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, she does break up with him as soon as she can. Like, he's in Sicily the whole time. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
They have phones. It's the 80s.
He does call. He's, but,
yeah.
Yeah, that's a whole thing. She's very broken up about it. It was a whole thing. It's yeah.
What's worse, the fiance cheating or the brother cheating?
Well, they had a falling out, you see. So, like, the brothers don't talk. In fact, there's a whole great monologue about it, which is pretty spectacular.
Yeah, actually, we skipped the important part about why they don't talk. And I think, Lee, do you want to explain that and then also maybe do some table reads on this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the big crux of the movie is that these two brothers don't speak anymore, and that's how everybody gets introduced and gets together. And we wanted to bring in what we consider just the most amazing thing that has ever been set down on film. Because to just describe it would not do it justice. So, let me try.
Okay.
So the backstory here is that Nick Cage runs a bakery. He runs the family bakery.
The other backstory is that Lee very much wants to run a bakery, right?
Yeah. Well, I want to work at a bakery. I don't want to fucking run anything. Sure, yeah, but yeah.
Sure.
So he has my dream job. But yeah, so. All right.
Hashtag job market if any local bakeries are hiring.
Yeah.
Oh, for real. For real, though. And if you want to match my current salary, which is the main problem. But yeah,
right.
So.
Right, right.
All right. Let me give it a try.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They say that bread is life, so I bake bread, and I shovel this stinking dough in and out of this hot hole in the wall, and I should be so happy. Huh, sweetheart? You want me to come to the wedding of my brother Johnny? Chrissy, over there on the wall, give me the big knife. No, Ronnie, I won't do it! Give me the big knife, I'm gonna cut my throat! Maybe I should come back another time. No, I want you to see this. I want you to watch me kill myself. So you can tell my brother Johnny on his wedding day. Chrissy, bring me the big knife! I tell you, I won't do it! She won't do it.
This is fucking so that was insane.
That was very well done.
I lost my hand and I lost my bride!
Oh, that's even better. So they continue to argue about this, and he explains that he injured his hand. Well, he got his hand cut off while he was helping Johnny, and his fiance ended up leaving him, and he blames Johnny for this. And she looks at him, and she's like, that wasn't Johnny's fault. And he throws a bucket of flour and goes, I don't care. I ain't no freaking monument to justice.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Uh-huh. He has one hand the whole time.
God. Yeah,
he has a wooden hand. Yeah.
Wooden hand, yeah.
Oh.
There's a scene where he cuts up a steak with a wooden hand. It's it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
It's pretty rough.
And this is the man that Cher falls in love with?
Yeah.
The guy who threatens to kill himself. Well,
he's very charismatic.
And Marielle, I have to say, they go to the opera and
They do.
Nick Cage with a mullet in a tuxedo is like
irresistible.
The only fashion. Yeah. It's the only fashion I aspire to at this point.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's your classic little boy in an adult's tuxedo kind of look.
Yep.
Is what it is.
Yep.
I mean, that's what gets me going, right?
That is a quintessential Nick Cage moment where, give me the big knife. I'm going to cut my throat. Yeah. Oh, it's
and
so
that's,
fucking
that
good.
Scene. When he leaves that scene, the woman who he's been screaming at the whole time, Chrissy, gives a monologue to no one about how she loves
him. Oh, it's so tragic.
How she loves him, but he will never love anyone again, and he'll never know that she loves him. And then she's gone forever. We never see her again.
Wait, another woman is in love with Nick Cage.
At the bakery.
And it's not addressed for the rest of the movie.
No.
It's a throwaway moment. Yeah, where she goes,
poor
I've loved
woman.
Him.
She's now she's like, to fucking watch him be married to Cher.
I mean, one would assume she's gonna have to.
Yeah,
I mean, if he continues working at the bakery.
Yeah,
Yeah, but she does like the saddest throwaway that's just like, I've loved him forever, but he'll never love again. And then just pan to next scene. It's,
yeah.
Oh, it's crushing.
And we really need to talk about the next scene too, because the next scene is where Cher goes up to Nick Cage's apartment to cook him dinner and talk to him.
That's the one. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And this is where she their proves romance her worth begins.
As an Italian wife. Making dinner.
I think I have the gist of it written down here. Cher and Nick fall in love about 20 minutes in, a day after meeting. Yep. Was my first impression of that.
Sure. Pretty much.
So this scene goes something like this. Nick picks up Cher after they kiss lovingly. Mm. Nick says, with her in his arms, son of a bitch!
Looking directly at the camera.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Straight down the barrel. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I can't handle
Cher,
this.
Cher like swoons a little bit and goes, where are you taking me? Nick, everyone pauses. He looks away, like literally as 90 degrees to the camera as he possibly could, and he goes, to the bed. And she goes, oh, and swoons again and goes, okay, take me to bed. And then, like,
but in a faux argumentative way, like, in a, yeah. Oh yeah, fine, take me to bed, like, you're a big man, like, you know.
Yeah. Boy.
This movie won Oscars?
Yeah. Hey, yeah!
Three.
Baffling.
Three.
Yeah.
The third Oscar was for the screenplay.
Yep. I refuse to believe this. This movie is bonkers.
You know, it's very good.
Mine
was chased. There was no... There was nothing past first base in my mind.
Well, I mean, this movie certainly has pacing. It's just, and we criticize older movies often on this podcast, but I think this is like
mostly
87,
you,
I think.
Yeah.
Mostly me.
For like a late 80s movie, it is surprisingly good. Like, genuinely enjoyable. Yeah.
I have this, kernel of a theory that this script started out as a play didn't get edited,
there's so many monologues
to fit it didn't get changed to fit being a film all that much, and they just decided let's make it and it I believe this because so the guy who wrote it, John Patrick Slaney, I think that I'm pronouncing it right, so he wins an Oscar for this movie, but his second most famous movie is Doubt from a few years ago, where he got nominated for another Oscar for that, but that movie started as a play.
Isn't that like a legal drama?
Doubt is a religious drama.
Mm-hmm. I think I know the one.
So this guy writes theater, like he's not I really do. There's all these little asides and there's these weird monologues that keep cropping up
And the theatrics are very high in this. Like, everybody is playing everything like 130% too much. Like, you could just notch it down a bit and it would have been normal, but it wasn't.
Yeah. It is, but that's what makes this movie so lovely, I think.
It's just agreed. Fucking insane. Agreed. I mean.
Yeah. Well, so something else. So the movie ends with that big, like, everybody in the family at the table having breakfast. All the relationships get resolved. The director of the movie got fined by the actors union because he wouldn't let any of them go to lunch until they had perfected his rehearsal for this scene.
Oh, wow.
How?
Yeah.
Wait.
Because he wanted it to show up like a stage play. Norman Jewison directed it. And he wanted it to seem like he wanted it all in one take. Like, it's like, this has to be in one take. It has to be like it's a play. So
they do all look very irritated in that scene, so that kind of makes sense, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Seth, I feel like you've been a bit quiet and you look like you're brooding in anger and you have things to say about this movie.
No, I was just looking through my notes and there's just a couple of observations that I wanted to say, but they're really not ultimately important to anything, so like you guys can keep talking about whatever.
No, go for it.
Yeah, I think we're good.
Okay,
yeah,
I have one other thing, but go for it.
Well, the first note I have here is just did they just make champagne using white wine and Alka-Seltzer?
You don't
think that happens? It was, I do think that happens.
Yeah,
it was sugar cubes, because that is a white trash thing, and I have personally seen that happen.
Okay,
sugar cubes.
Well,
it both makes it effervesce and it makes it sweeter because you're garbage people. So.
My dad,
I'm actually gonna write that down.
Puts brown sugar in red wine when he buys it.
Yeah. Same concept.
Why not just buy Mad Dog? Like, what are you doing?
I told him, just buy fucking Manischewitz.
Oh, yeah, okay, well, that would do it.
Boone's Farm, whatever.
You guys
want to
talk about Jewish
shit.
Stuff, I mean. Yeah. We can talk about Manischewitz. That was not my first drunk, but definitely one of my first drinks.
Yeah.
Going way back.
I hear it's pretty okay.
No, it's not. What are you talking about?
No, it's literally sugar water.
Yeah. It's slightly alcoholic sugar water that is grape Kool-Aid horrid. Flavored.
So I need to buy and also drink some of this to
okay.
figure it on out.
Just go to any bar mitzvah, it is on the table.
It's pretty cheap.
Yeah, it's like $3. I think, yeah. So
hey, that's my wheelhouse.
Stand on brand.
The next observation that I have is just the line that I wrote down. I do envy the Italians the art of table wine. Which mm-hmm. I think
like in the big jug chicken wing.
What are you
or
talking
just like
about?
It's always around.
Yeah, like it's always everywhere. Around. Like they just had a lot of table wine. It was great.
Yeah. Dinner at grandma's always involved multiple bottles of red and white just sitting on the table.
But
and
table wine is incredible because it's not, it's just called red. It's not this type of wine. It is just red.
Yeah. The only notable thing about it is its color, yes.
Crass.
Yeah, the other notable thing about it is you can't wash the taste of garlic out of your mouth with it.
Yeah.
Designed specifically for...
I don't know why you would want to, because garlic is amazing, but you know.
It really is.
Yeah.
Better than red Franzia, for sure, yeah.
For sure. I know what you were talking about, though, Marielle. You were talking about those big jugs of, like, Della Rossi.
Carlo Rossi.
Like,
Carlo Rossi, yeah.
When you're trying to drink, out of the bottle, they're so big and, like, lopsided, you have to hold it with your elbow, and it's called chicken wing.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, we all went to college. Like, it's a thing.
Well, I didn't know about this, like, wine, sugar, champagne, so some of us missed things.
I didn't go to college. What are you talking about?
I mean, all right.
Sure.
Seth, you went to several colleges, I know for a fact.
I think I'm at, like, 5 or something. Anyway.
Yeah.
Just two more things. First off, holy water weirds me out, because salmonella?
I guess so, sure.
Yeah, okay.
You've been watching too much Wild Wild Country.
What? I don't know what that is, but it just weirds me out that there's standing water all the time and people dip their dirty fingers in it.
Is there Giardia in there?
A little E. coli to go with that prayer?
How many beavers have been in this water?
Oh, this is the father's been blessing beavers all day.
Yuckers. Equal opportunity. Yep.
And the very last thing is that I hate/love the incidental music in this. There's so much goddamn, like, accordion incidental music every time anyone does anything.
Well, and especially since the grandfather, there's also a grandfather character who's, like, trying to lift the curse from the family or whatever. Italian bullshit.
Yeah, he's fighting Majora, and he's gonna.
Yeah,
he's gonna do.
He's got to play the fucking Song of Time and the Bolero of Fire and whatnot.
Song of Stars.
Is there any like are there like
eight
priests and shit in this too? I assume. Like,
yeah, they do. Like there's a confessional scene in the movie. Like,
yeah, there is a confessional. Yeah. Cher goes to a confessional and she goes, I just got engaged yesterday and I slept with my fiance's brother today.
Yeah.
And the priest is like, oh, Lord.
Oh, okay. That's a bad one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's no good.
Wait a
minute. Actually, I have a transcript. I have a transcript of that one, too, so I can do that one really quick.
Yes, please reenact that for us.
Yeah.
I slept with my fiance's brother. Ooh, that's a spicy meatball.
Oh my god, no, it should be, I slept with my fiance's brother. If I could turn back time.
I knew that song was about something.
That's why we need to edit more tightly.
That is the inspiration.
And scene.
Oh, God, damn.
Oh, give
it.
Me a fucking Oscar. Zach can get a screenwriter credit on that one, too.
Wait, so, I mean, that moved really fast. She got engaged the next day she slept with him?
Yeah.
Because she had to call him because they're not talking, and he was like, call my brother, I'm going to Sicily. And then she called him, and he didn't answer, so she shows up at the bakery, and then that whole bread thing happens.
Yeah.
And then she has sex with him after he threatens to kill himself?
Yeah, Nick Cage is insatiable.
I guess she's been widowed for, like, a while.
We're she wants that sweet love. Yeah.
If I'm remembering correctly, the story she tells, because there's this interaction they have before they sleep together, where they explain their stories to each other, and Cher calls him a wolf without a foot, and he calls her a bride without a head.
Yeah.
It's this whole weird Italian metaphors thing. She says something along the lines of like, if I'm hearing her correctly, she got married for love very young, and then almost immediately he got hit by a bus and killed.
Yeah.
So she thinks she's cursed.
Yeah. Which is a very overlooked plotline. Like, that was a throwaway. Why not get into, I don't know, whatever.
Well, I mean, the grandfather's whole subplot is, like, lifting this curse of love from the family, and
Sure, yeah. Oh dear. All right. Does anybody have anything else?
Yeah, I have one more thing that I think is just gonna fucking blow the roof off this.
Oh shit!
Heavens! All right.
When they were casting the movie, the director, the screenwriter, everybody wanted Nick Cage, but the studio didn't, because they said he wasn't known enough. He wasn't experienced enough. Cher threatened
to quit. Right off.
Cher
threatened to
quit because she said that she couldn't imagine, after she did his audition, like they did a reading there, she goes, there is no one else who could play this
part. My God. Wowzers. Oh.
She's everything.
Yeah, she's our generation's prophet. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
She also thought that she had, like, during the filming, she was talking about, oh my God, my performance is so terrible. She fucking won an Oscar for it.
She's very humble, Cher.
Yeah. Well, this is also the same year that she made Witches of Eastwick. So this was like a big fucking year for Cher,
Wow. Banging year.
He's doing it.
God damn.
Wait, so you guys have all seen this movie outside of the context of this podcast?
Yeah, for sure.
I've seen it many times.
Okay, Lee, obviously you're very Italian. You probably are, like, required to watch this. But for everyone else.
Every year at Italian Christmas, Lee's family.
Yeah, I mean, when moons hit one's eye, I mean, you know, as
I mean,
it goes.
I have never even seen this, like, on cable. I don't know.
I saw it on cable a lot.
Yeah, it was definitely on there. I think it is a bit before our generation's time.
Yeah.
We're all, like, sort of the same age. I think, I mean, we were, like, babies when this came out. And perhaps it wasn't quite standing the test of time when we were, you know, in our formative years.
I feel like it was on TBS a reasonable amount.
It definitely
TBS,
was.
TNT. This is also a movie that's on both lists of, like, the best movies of all time and the most overrated movies of all time, which is kind of funny, but
fun.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, I literally, like, don't know anything about this.
Oh, No, I missed it somewhere. Tomorrow. It's so good.
Yeah, I think it's a wonderful, it's a very fun movie.
It is worth watching, but it isn't great.
See, that's interesting.
Both of the things you just said were the correct critiques of this movie.
You say, like, oh, it's so fun. But when you guys are describing it, it sounds so fucked up and dark.
Yeah.
Girl's cheating on her fiance's abusive. She's cheating on him with her brother, and the brother is threatening to kill himself. It's like, this could be.
Yeah, but it's
like
in a fun late 80s way. So,
But it's, and they're all eating spaghetti and manigot, and it's fine. Hey. Oh,
but if this movie was made now and was like an indie film, it would be so dark.
Yeah.
It would be a Vincent Gallo movie.
Absolutely.
It'd be a lobster. Mm.
It would be a lobster. Yes, exactly that. Yeah.
Though, like,
a lobster ravioli.
I mean, when I was watching this last night, the first thing that Zach said was, I was like, oh, this is aggressively Italian. And Zach was like, oh, wait till you go deeper down that spaghetti hole.
I was like, yeah. AKA my mouth.
Yeah. Seth and I watched this in almost tandem. I think I was like 15 minutes ahead of you, but we had a really good time.
Yeah.
Putting the goofs on. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Putting the pieces together. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let's do the ratings.
Thing.
Yeah. Seth, you want to start?
Yes. So the IMD Bizzle for this is 7.1.
Oh, that's pretty high for IMDb, right?
Ooh, boy. Yeah,
that's not bad. We seem to
definitely not bad.
We seem to have hit a string where we're consistently doing movies that are about seven.
Which is very good. Like, I was hoping that we would eventually get to very good movies that people might actually know, and I think we've done
one day.
It seems good.
Yeah, one day.
That was the hope. Yeah.
We will get Star Wars someday. Someone out there.
I will let you know when I find that unicorn.
I just met a Star Wars person the other day.
Oh my god. Okay. Wow. We'll talk about that off mic, but
yeah.
Okay. Okay.
It'll take some doing,
okay.
But we
no problem.
All right. No problem.
I think.
Okay.
I think I might secretly have one too. Anyway. For this movie, Marielle, I am a big fan of your Italian werewolf fest.
Yep.
It had all the right twists and it was very pandering. So, I'm going to give you I definitely watch it. So I'll give it, like IMDb says for the real film, a 7.1.
Not bad.
I enjoyed it.
That's a solid Seth right there.
As for the original, like, at the beginning, I hated it. And then halfway through, I kind of came around. Mm-hmm. And it is a good movie, but it's not a great movie.
It's a weird movie.
Yeah. It's got a lot of moving parts that are kind of stupid. But
It's the CVT transmission of movies.
Yep,
yes.
Sure is.
Hey,
that was a very specific joke.
My car stalls out at stop signs all the time. So
I'm gonna give the original movie a 6.3.
Ooh,
hey,
okay.
Big winner.
Well, I mean, old timey Seth is back, where things are way worse than they should be. Why don't I throw it over to Lee? What are your thoughts?
Hey, and I'll catch that boomerang with my Italian hands. I don't know. So anyway,
that famous phrase. I catch that boomerang with my Italian hands.
Yeah.
Two things the Italians are known for: boomerangs and catching them. I'll start with the actual movie. Moonstruck is weird as fuck, but it is really, really fun. I enjoy it a lot, and I'm gonna go with the IMDb rating. I'm gonna say 7.1 is fair.
Okay.
7.1 is a very good representation of how much fun I have watching this mess of a movie.
Sure.
Yeah.
With lesser actors, I think this movie could have been The Room of the 80s.
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw that out there. But...
Yeah, I agree.
The Room or Room of the 80s?
No, The Room.
No, The Room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, leave that poor child and Brie Larson out.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Oh, Cher, you're tearing me apart.
But yeah, think about it. If this movie isn't full of very talented people,
yeah, sure,
this is a just nightmare.
Yeah,
there would be people would be throwing horrifying. Fucking toast at the screen at midnight at this movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Marielle, your movie was full of things that I personally love. I fucking love Cher. I fucking love crazy, gaudy, fucking 70s fashion. I love sleazy Danny Aiello. Yep. I love werewolves. I love Nick Cage being crazy. And I love scenes of people talking on the phone for some fucking ungodly reason. I'm going to give you a 9.
Oh.
Oh, I will treasure this for the rest of my life.
Hot, hot, hot. Mm-hmm.
Hot, hot heat on that fucking movie. That movie's going to win.
Coming in hot.
4 Oscars instead of 3.
I was going to say more than 3. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go OG first as well. I think 7-1 is low for this movie. I think it is very good. Nick Cage, our Lord and Savior, like, he's the best for sure. I agree. It started out sort of in humble beginnings and then became very, very enjoyable. Uh-huh. Once you like sort of enjoy the Cher and the Nick Cage and just
you have to kind
like,
of
ignore all the Italian
you have to suspend
bullshit.
Everything. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to go a solid 8 on the OG.
Wow.
And I think, Marielle, it was just very good. I think second ever, just you hit all the hallmarks. I think this is a 10 to 10.
Oh.
10 to 10.
Oh my goodness. This is the best in my life.
Snap.
Zach pulling
just,
a Lee on this one.
Yeah, he sure is.
It was
is.
Just unstoppable. Like, you pandered so good, and I appreciate pandering infinitely. Like, I did not see the dog thing, dog thing coming.
That came out
until,
of nowhere, and I loved it. Yeah.
Yeah, until you telescoped it, and then it was like, oh, fucking of course. Obviously. That.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Oh, it was so good. It was very good. So good.
Yeah. I mean, that's the first place my brain went with, like, Moonstruck, the title, I went with.
Right.
It was just like, I don't know. Besides, the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, and things that happen with the moon, which is werewolves. I didn't know where else to go with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it makes sense.
A disaster movie where the moon is crashing into the earth.
I fucking hate disaster movies.
Yes,
so.
We get it. Majora's Mask. Okay.
Yeah, all right.
Or
all right.
Like weird science Melancholia. Documentary about the formation of the moon about 3.5 billion years ago.
Oh, when something smashed into the earth and the moon spun off.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll leave that one to Carl Sagan.
Rip
Carl Sagan.
I mean, kinda, yeah. that's an old one. Yeah. all right. Well, I think that'll do it.
Next week.
ML, you killed it. Yeah, you really done it.
Oh
on
yeah.
That one, I think.
You did done did best, yeah.
Yeah, but
done did it best.
But what's the movie next week?
So next week, Seth is back with a movie called Crash. And you might say, hey, hold on. Back again. there's at least 2 movies called Crash. And so we're doing the not racist one. We're doing the mid-90s one.
Oh,
and,
well, thanks for that spoiler. Now I'm going to have to situate it in the mid-90s. God damn.
Oh, sorry.
You know what's fun about the 90s?
Hmm? What?
I say, you know what's fun about those 2 movies? If you had to guess which one I've seen, you'd probably be wrong, because I've seen this one already. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, as is the premise of our show, but okay.
The racism one is like an Oscar winner, I think.
Yeah, right.
Best Picture.
It won some
Best Picture.
Yeah, I have seen that
and
one.
And I have not seen it.
And it had a fucking banger cast.
Yeah.
It had like 70 famous people.
Yeah,
in
it. It did.
However, we're gonna
get
do
ready
the crazy
for another
one.
Banger wink cast.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Okay. I don't know what that means.
Yeah. This movie
you
is
will.
Very good. Very
you'll,
very.
You'll get it.
Very
get
fun.
It
okay, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. Great job, Marielle. You fucking did.
Thanks, guys. This is the best. Follow us on Twitter.
Oh hell yeah. Oh hell yeah.
Oh hell yeah.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's a movie.
Ah, woo, Nick Cage is a werewolf.
Oh,
wonderful.
That's the one.
Wonderful.
That's the one.